Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Not everyone is careful with your personal information, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the U.S. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year by visiting LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Coming up on tonight's special Memorial Day weekend show, you're going to love these themes. It's about America. Gary Sinise, you know him, the actor, but he gives so much back to the military. He's going to talk about one special story and what he's doing this year. You also have Ray Dalio, one of the finest investors in American history, talks about where our economy's going, especially in light of what's going to happen July 4th, and that is the big, beautiful deal. And Frank Siller, if anyone's given more back to first responders and military families, I just don't know their name, but Tunnel to Towers is going to be in the spotlight. But first, we reflect on the true meaning of Memorial Day. You know, it's not just a long weekend, the unofficial start of summer. It's a deeply significant day of remembrance. It's a day we are set to honor the men and women of the United States Armed Forces who made the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our nation. These are individuals who gave their lives not for recognition, not for reward, certainly, but a sense of patriotism and a love of their country. Now, the origins of this Memorial Day is fascinating. It dates back to the aftermath of the Civil War, when communities began holding springtime tributes to honor fallen soldiers by decorating their graves. It became an official federal holiday in 1971 and is now observed annually every Monday, mostly the last Monday in May. Now, since the founding of our nation, more than 1.3 million Americans have died in wars, big and small. Every one of those lives represents a story of courage, of service and sacrifice. Now, according to the Department of Veterans Affairs, there are over 150 national cemeteries in the U.S. where millions of veterans and fallen soldiers are laid to rest. And every Memorial Day at places like Arlington National Cemetery, thousands of volunteers, you see them there placing flags in front of the grave. It's a powerful visual reminder that these sacrifices are not forgotten in the United States of America. Their sacrifice is the price of the freedom we enjoy every day, and we never want to take that for granted. So joining me now is someone who knows a lot about the ultimate sacrifice. He's the author of an upcoming book you're going to love. It's called Beyond the Badge, and I think I might be getting my pre-autographed copy. Johnny Joey Jones, Fox News contributor, anchor host. He does it all. And veteran, of course. Great to see you, Johnny.
That's good intuition.
Joey, I should say.
That's it.
Joey, first off, your thoughts on Memorial Day, because you lost your legs, but also a lot of your friends lost their lives.
Yeah,
who jumps to mind?
The day that you get injured and live, you call that your alive day. That's always hard for me to say, because the first person that comes to mind is Corporal Daniel Greer. He was from a small town in Tennessee, a full-time fireman. He became a reserve Marine and asked to go to war, so he didn't have to. And he died from the IED that took my legs, trying to protect me and provide security for me. Still talk to his wife, Stacy, who has worked with Tunnel to Towers, and she's fantastic, an amazing Gold Star wife, and he means a lot to me. And there are several others, Marine EOD techs I served with really closely, more than 20, actually.
Which is when we asked you, do you want to highlight anyone? You said, yeah. Where do you stop, really?
Yeah.
I understand that, and we have some group pictures. The other thing we talk about is the military today, because they're going to be asked for big challenges. People are very nervous about the so-called superpower-to-superpower matchup. But I'm kind of heartened by we seem to be loving the military again. Recruiting's beginning to surge. Look at some of these stats. Navy recruits in 2023 up significantly. In 2024, you have a goal. We reach it. 2025, the goal is definitely attainable when it comes to all branches of the Army. What is changing now on the perception? Because I know there was some bitterness, especially after Afghanistan. A lot of military families said, we're not going to do this again.
You know, I have a little bit different take on this, and I think most people talk about. A lot of people directly connect the sense of patriotism that a president from the right brings, the idea that generally Republican presidents support the military more, and certainly the woke topics that have plagued everything from our service academies now to boot camp and units. All of those matter in this. I used to have people come up to me and say, I don't know if I want to send my kid into this military. And I'd say, well, if you don't, we leave it to them. Like, we have to fight for it and keep it. But what I think is driving the recruitment now more than anything is a president and a secretary of defense that has said openly and honestly they don't intend to start new wars. And if we go to war, we go to it to win. And I think those two things are a stark contrast from the last 20 years, in my opinion.
Then why are we going out of our way to try to stop Israel from winning in a war that they were inflicted with? They got the Hamas starts it, but the whole world wants Israel to back off. I want you to hear what Admiral Darrell Caudill told us. He's U.S. Fleet Forces commander. He was on Fox and Friends about the state of the military.
It's been tremendous. Our recruiting numbers are up. We have recruited 4,000 more sailors already this year than we did last year, which was already a banner year. So I think recruitment's up, retention's at an all-time high. And so we got this juggernaut of Navy potential here.
And we just got about $1 trillion budget for Secretary of Defense Hegseth's defense team.
Yeah, so I'll go back to your first question about Israel, and I'll say this. I think that President Trump believes there's a path to get rid of Iran without war. I don't know if that's true. When I say get rid of the nuclear threat of Iran and what they do in the region, I don't know if that's true. I know one thing. I was at a Jewish event celebrating Jerusalem and Jews in old town Jerusalem, and then woke up, and next thing you know, there's this tragedy, anti-Semitic tragedy.
Yeah,
Needs leadership on this issue, and I think Israel needs to be supported by this.
That happened Wednesday night, a tragedy, assassination. Yeah. Assassination of a terrorist who is proud of it.
Yeah.
Much like the people that cheer from River to the Sea in front of Columbia, NYU, City College, Harvard, and others.
But it's on this topic, though, because you have these young people from colleges that are chanting things they don't even understand, and now you have a resurgence of young people doing two things: joining the church and joining the military. So there's hope. And on this Memorial Day, there's hope for this country.
We're a self-correcting country. We fix things. Let's talk about Behind the Badge. It comes out June 17th. Yeah. What was the motivation? And I understand you are all over this. This is a passion of yours.
It's Memorial Day. We're celebrating those that died mostly in combat in our military. For 20 years, we've had this conversation, and now we have an entire branch of our government, Department of Veterans Affairs, on board about the mental health of men and women that serve our country because of the trauma they endure at war. I've got two brothers-in-law and a guy that's like an uncle to me I've known since I was 3 years old. They've been firemen for 30 years. They see their trauma every single day. When they drive through an intersection to take their kids to school, they've seen a child die in a car wreck in that same intersection. Their trauma is, their battlefield is their home. And so years of going on hunting trips and hanging out with Marines and service members and first responders together and seeing what we had in common, but also how much further behind they are in their trauma being acknowledged and understood by Americans. This is so far beyond the back the blue or defund the police. This is about human beings that put their lives on the line in the towns they live in and never have a chance to get away from it. And when I wrote this book, I didn't know it. But on the back end, what I realized is to where we have a Department of Veterans Affairs, they're having to do it in the fire hall, at the precinct, on the SWAT team. It's very grassroots. There's no national major push to support them in this.
Wow, and hopefully this book goes a long way in exposing that. There's an excerpt that we pulled that maybe you should read.
Sure. It says, how much of that kind of trauma can one man or woman carry, and for how long? Perhaps that's the question we should consider as civilians in a country so free of danger because we are so blessed with first responders who sign up for the job and responsibility of trying to save us from it. Perhaps rather than fighting over whether to support or attack first responders, we should be reflecting on having gratitude for the job they do. And that is the synopsis of the book.
Well, and so often people either serve in the military, they'll go and serve if they're in the reserves. They'll go be cops and firefighters. Then they go into the military. And then they come back.
Yeah.
Or they decide, after I'm done with my 20 years or 4 years, they decide to go become cops and firefighters.
Absolutely. I started this segment talking about Daniel Greer, who was a full-time fireman in Tennessee and became a reserve Marine and went to war and lost his life. That's the kind of men and women that protect our towns.
Nobody better. I'd like to talk to him on Memorial Day. Thanks so much.
Thank you, bro.
Joe, congratulations. We cannot wait for the book to come out June 17th. You can pre-order it now, guys. Go do it. Next, I want to talk about Tunnel to Towers Foundation. You see Frank Siller a lot on Fox, but all Tunnel to Towers does is help more people on a daily basis and continues to grow. While in the beginning, it was, Frank, it was all about first responders in the beginning. But 14 years ago, you said, I think we got to do military families, too.
Well, yeah, well, because what happened was in 2009, actually, the first quadruple amputee to ever survive any war was from Staten Island, where my brother Stephen was born, where the Seven Sillers were born. And a group of us went down to Walter Reed Army Medical Center. And while I was visiting him, I said, Brendan, can the Tunnel to Towers Foundation build you a home? And he humbly accepted. And that changed everything about the foundation. And quite frankly, yes, we were helping kids of fallen first responders up to that point, you know, small stipends, scholarships. But that changed everything because now we have to raise real money.
Right.
And we've been doing it ever since.
Paying off mortgages is not easy either, and that's what you started with, and then it continues to grow. Now you're building housing and trying to make sure there's no such thing as a homeless veteran.
Correct. So, yeah, so this year alone, over 200 mortgage-free homes we're supplying to our great heroes that paid a big price for us. 25 this weekend, right, for Memorial Day.
Yeah, here's your announcement. Tunnel to Towers will announce today mortgage payoffs for Gold Star families in honor of Memorial Day. 25. And there's one family in particular, but your thought, Memorial Day means a lot to you and your organization. And that's what I think people should understand.
Yeah, I think of Memorial Day because I know people went to war because what happened on September 11, 2001, when I lost my brother, when we lost so many great heroes and innocent people that day. Over 7,000 have died ever since. You know, that's not lost on me or on the foundation, that there's a big sacrifice.
There's cancers that came out of that pile.
No, I'm talking about in our military that gave their lives to go protect us because what happened on September 11th. Yes, thousands have died of 9/11-related illnesses, and we help those families, too. The work is endless. It's endless. There's so much sacrifice out there. And we can't just remember on Memorial Day. Yes, we take the time out. We're with family. We talk about it. You know, you have to do all those things. But we better remember them all year long. And the families, when they pay a big price to protect us. Yesterday, we gave away a mortgage-free smart home. And my nephew, Stephen Silla Jr.,
who's been at the Patriot Awards, does a great job.
Right. I mean, he gave the award named it my brother to Stephanie Diller. And
your brother had how many kids?
My brother had 5 kids. Wow. And young Stephen was only 9 months old. And, wow. And to see what he's doing now with us, with the foundation, it's just remarkable. We all could do something. We all have to do something. If we ask these men and women to put a uniform on for us, whether it's in our military or it's in service, as Joey was just talking about locally as a firefighter or a police officer, and they give their lives up, we better be there as Americans to take care of their families. And so, that's what we bring together with.
So I asked you for one family in particular, and you said, Brian, why don't we talk about Charles Paul Nord, United States Army National Guard, warrant officer. Charles Ward is in your crosshair.
He's one of our 25 that we're paying off the mortgages, and his wife, who is so grateful, and she said, "I can't believe that he won't be forgotten." Number one,
wife Kaylee.
Yeah, Kaylee won't be forgotten, and they have 2 children, and that their family, and she was pregnant with the second one when he gave his life. And that they can stay in the house where they were making all their dreams together. So that's one short story. But all 25 of those heroes, or the 200 plus that we did this year, right, these are great stories that have to be remembered and told. They're on our website. Every one of them are on our website and how they served and how they gave their lives up.
So he passed away on December 5th, 2019, following a Black Hawk helicopter crash. During maintenance tests, you don't think either every time they have war games or anytime they do exercise, this is always dangerous. You have Jack Charles and their 2-year-old daughter, Lydia, left behind. But at least you're helping out. The one thing I always say this, you tell the story great. You're a natural storyteller. And what your organization does in telling these short stories using celebrities, well-known people, and then everyday people really get the point across. You got to keep on let people know it's the same organization, but you got to keep the message fresh. I was stunned to see that you have a NIL. You're looking to also raise money through an NIL. Could you explain how we're doing that? How you doing that?
What we do is that we have young athletes that want to be part of us, and they are speaking up on our behalf. And It's incredible. I heard Joey just talking before about the youth, so many young people going back to church and falling in love with our country again. And I see that also everywhere I go. And that's the story of my...
So you'll kind of sponsor them to keep the word out in this younger generation?
We don't. They come to us. Just like these celebrities, they come to us. They want to be involved. They want to help us on our mission to do good and to make sure that we never forget the sacrifice that has that's been made for us. By the way, one of the last times I talked to you, we talked about Sylvester Stallone coming on board to do a PSA. I'm going next week to do that PSA with him to because you introduced me to
him. Yes. We were in the green room, in the makeup room. I start talking to him, and he said, "Is that Frank Stiller?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I want to help him out." And then you guys met, and sure enough, it's been about a year, right? Yeah. So he'll pull some people in because he's certainly we know how patriotic he is, and now he's working for the president, trying to get Hollywood back in America again.
Which is great.
I know. Hey, listen, T2T.org, do something special. Even if you have a packed schedule, it takes a second to go online, and pledge what you can each month, and it'll certainly know it goes to the right place. Frank, total inspiration.
Thank
great
you,
to see
sir.
You.
God bless you.
Fantastic.
And God bless your viewers.
All right, and thanks so much for being in our show on this special day. All right, next, we continue to honor those that made the ultimate sacrifice, spotlighting the great Gary Sinise Foundation on this Memorial Day weekend. And still to come, I sat down with multi-billionaire Ray Dalio. His warning for America that you have to hear as we go through this perilous time. Also, you talk about patriotic. I try to do that on stage with history, liberty, and laughs. Talk about my 7 history books. We bring history to life. I'm going to be in Dayton, Ohio, WHIO listeners with radio. Hope to see you there. Dallas, Texas, August 23rd, in Richmond, Virginia, on September 27th, all with Fox Nation. Go to BrianKilmeade.com. All right, back in a moment.
I'll bear that cross with honor, because freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier.
I love the flags.
This is not going to be a show that you're expecting. Nice people. The only thing left is, the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, get on your feet. Brian Kilmeade!
Other countries might have longer histories. They don't have better histories.
Are you prepared to give your life for our new country?
I love Brian, and I love the Comedy Edition.
That is your country. That is your story.
If you know luxury...
Welcome back to this special edition of One Nation. Tonight, we want to highlight the Gary Sinise Foundation, as we do almost every year. It honors veterans, first responders, and their families by raising money and building specially designed houses for wounded vets. And joining us right now to talk about it, Gary Sinise himself, actor, founder, and president, chairman of the Gary Sinise Foundation. Along with Gary is the recipient of one of those mortgage-free smart homes his foundation works to give away. To retired Army Sergeant Joshua Hargis, the last one. Meanwhile, Joshua's story is pretty moving, with an incredible backstory of grit, perseverance, and unwavering love for country. This photo going viral back in 2013 of the sergeant in a military hospital lifting his hand to salute the American flag as a Purple Heart was pinned to his chest. Thank you guys both for joining us, Gary, as well as Joshua. And Gary, first off, your mission continues. Even though we're not in two hot wars, there's still tremendous needs.
Oh, there always are. And I want to say hello to my buddy Joshua and his family there. Thanks for having me,
Thank
Brian.
You.
You know, we're doing incredible things at the Gary Sinise Foundation. We're very, very busy. We've given away, I think we've done 95 of these specially adapted smart technology mortgage-free homes now. Joshua's home was our 94th. And he's living not too far from where I am here in Tennessee. And we're grateful for his service, obviously, and all those we serve at the Gary Sinise Foundation. We're busy every single day doing something all over the country.
What has it meant to you, Joshua, that this home is now part of your life, to make your life a little bit easier, although it doesn't seem like you've had a down day since that devastating bombing?
No, they're definitely... plenty of down days, but being able to receive a home from the Gary Sinise Foundation has allowed me to be more relaxed and more comfortable in my home with my family. It's allowed me to be more present with my kids and with my wife, and I am so grateful for this gift.
So, Joshua, the way I understand it, you lost both your legs during your fourth tour as an Army Ranger. What happened that day?
It was during a night mission. It was similar to everything else that we had been doing on that deployment. But we walked into a baited ambush, and there were suicide vests and a field of IEDs that we kind of got baited into. We lost 14 members. My dog was killed that night. Two of us lost limbs. One of us lost eyesight. So I'm just fortunate to still be here.
And I know you've made you're a heck of an athlete. You're a two-time world champion when it comes to sled hockey, skated in four international events, including two world championships, two para hockey hockey cups. So you're a big-time hockey player, and I know you've managed to adapt. But is it? What are you thinking about this Memorial Day weekend?
It's bittersweet. You know, I'm so tied to the events that that took the lives of team members, that also injured so many of us. There were about 20 of us that got injured. So very tied to that day. You know, I live with a constant reminder of that day, but today is very special to look back on those incredible Americans, absolute heroes. I loved being able to serve with them, to see their grit and determination and everything that they were able to accomplish.
Gary, you know, it's pretty Gary, it's amazing. So many people have seen you that have served in the battlefield. I mean, you go out to the war zones. What is it like now that most of your focus is here at home? When you come against this great generation of warfighters that don't get enough appreciation, what do you find their needs are?
Well, I don't think we can ever do enough for our defenders, Brian. You know, there are a lot of residual effects from the constant state of war that we were in after September 11th. We still get a lot of applications and requests for assistance from veterans and military families every single day. There are folks that are living with their injuries for many, many years now, and they can be all of a sudden struggling with that injury, something that happened to them years ago, and now they're back in the hospital having another surgery. There might be an infection. You know, who knows? But there are a lot of residual effects from the wars, and we try to meet those needs wherever we can. We have military families in every community around the country. I always kind of tell people, you know, you can certainly donate to a national organization like the Gary Sinise Foundation or some of the other ones. But if everybody in every community, in every neighborhood, every town and city across the United States just made it a priority or, you know, took some opportunity to reach out to local veterans in your own community and, you know, maybe address their needs, see what they might need. If there's a Gold Star family, a family of a fallen hero that might be in that town, they may need some special assistance. So any of us can help. And certainly with Memorial Day, you know, we remember the fallen. It's a day for our nation to come together in service. It's like a national day of service and remembrance for those who have given their lives for our country. We can never do enough for them, but we can always try to do some more. And that's what we're trying to do at the Gary Sinise Foundation.
And you go to GarySiniseFoundation.org and give back, and it's on the screen right now. Joshua, thanks so much for your service. I hope you feel appreciated. I know our viewers go out of their way to say how patriotic they are and how much they appreciate what you've done and your generation has done over the last 20-plus years at war. And thanks so much for joining us today on Memorial Day.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. Gary, thank you so much. Always great.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. See you soon. All right. Coming up, we take a look back at some of the nation's greatest battles and look ahead to our country's 250th birthday celebration. Don't move.
That's something to be proud of. That's a life you can hang your hat on. That's a chin held high, the tear falls down, guts up, dead, chest up.
This moment.
Memorial Day, we honor those men and women who have put country first by offering all active military and veterans their first year of Fox Nation absolutely free. Stream new and exclusive shows.
If your life's on the line, you have to believe in something.
Hear real stories from real heroes.
This is their Top Gun school.
Highlighting those who put their lives on the line for our freedom.
It is about the people that really make America great.
Thank you for your service, and we hope you enjoy your first year free. America is streaming.
It is amazing. It used to have.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer in New York. President Trump is expressing deep unhappiness over Russia's massive weekend bombing of Ukraine and says he is considering placing more sanctions on Moscow. His comments come just hours after Ukraine's president denounced the U.S.'s silence following the attacks. The drone and missile barrages targeted more than 30 cities and villages, killing at least 12 people and hurting dozens more. Despite the attacks, Russia and Ukraine exchanged 2,000 prisoners this weekend. And it has now been 5 years since the death of George Floyd. His family and civil rights attorney Al Sharpton spoke at a graveside service in Houston where Floyd was buried. He died after former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin knelt on his neck for over 9 minutes. His death sparked nationwide calls to defund the police and reignited the Black Lives Matter movement. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, and I'm back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
How's the ticker?
Still ticking.
Want to get in the war?
Monuments, man.
Signed by Roosevelt.
Oh, I see that.
And to put a team together and try to protect what's left and find what's missing.
Aren't you a little old for that?
Yes.
You want to go into a war zone and tell our boys what they can and cannot blow up?
That's the idea.
Okay, how many men?
For now, 6.
Jesus.
With you, that's 7.
That's much better.
That was George Clooney and Matt Damon, of course, from The Monuments Men, the movie. It was 2014 when it came out. It was off the best-selling book by my next guest. Now he's back with a new book that sheds light on another remarkable story of World War II. It's his latest. It's called Remember Us. It tells the untold story of American soldiers who liberated the Netherlands and the Dutch citizens who have honored them ever since. Now, with Memorial Day upon us and the 250th birthday of America here just around the corner, it's a timely reminder of the price of freedom and the power of gratitude and remembrance. Drawing on never-before-seen letters and diaries, the book captures both the horrors of war and the humanity that endures long after. Joining me now is historian and author Robert Edsel. Robert, great to see you.
You too, Brian. Thank you.
Tell us, first off, when you saw Monuments Men when it became a movie, was that a dream come true?
Yeah, it was, because the United States did something no one's ever done before. Not only did we find millions of stolen works of art, but we gave them back to the people that they came from. And we wanted to show the world we were not going to be like conquerors of the past, and not going to be like the Nazis. So to be able to tell that story and have these men and women, 21 of whom I later found and got to know, 4 women, 17 men, and see them honored with the Congressional Gold Medal, thanked for the first time by our country, that was a special moment.
Memorial Day means what to you?
It means a reminder that freedom's not free, and that we have to do, we're fighting to preserve freedom, whether we're in a war or not. Every day there's the challenge to try and restrict our opportunities, our privileges. And I think it's a reminder of how we've won a lottery ticket if we're born in this country. We are so fortunate to live in the United States. And I think thanking the men and women who preserve our freedom with their lives is something that we should all be conscientious.
A lot younger, but 1976, I remember the bicentennial minutes. I remember all the bicentennial celebrations. I'm getting the feeling we're going to have something very similar for 250, at least I hope. And you'll have a lot to do with that. Tell us about the story that you kind of stumbled into.
I did.
Remember Us.
I knew about our overseas military cemeteries, but I had no idea there was a grave adoption program that was created by the Dutch, even during the war, trying to find an answer to the question, how do you thank your liberators when they're no longer alive to thank? And at the end of World War II in the Netherlands, this is where World War II in Western Europe begins, because the German tanks roll across the border through the Netherlands to get to France. There were 17,800 boys and some women buried at this military cemetery. It was our largest World War II cemetery. And in January 45, the Dutch were trying to answer this question of thanking their liberators. And they had the idea of, well, we'll find local people to go out to the cemetery on the birth date, death date, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and remember the soldier. And if they have the name and address of next of kin, send a photograph of the grave, because for so many American families here, that was as close as they were ever going to get to being next to their boy. And by the second Memorial Day, they had 17,800 volunteers that had done that. Today, there's 10,000 American boys, 4 women that are buried at the cemetery. There's someone from every single state and District of Columbia there. So every community in the United States has a connection to the story.
So, and then you realize the loyalty that generations now of the Dutch, of Europeans, have towards the Americans and the Allies that saved them.
They do. They take. I mean, when you go to the cemetery, it's not a cemetery of death. It's a place filled with life, because their young kids, entire schools are out there every single day drilling into the kids. You have a chance to say what you want to say, express your own thoughts. And that privilege was paid for by freedoms that cost the lives of these American men and women. And that's something that we don't do as much in this country, but it's something that I think is inspirational to us. And it's a different kind of World War II story than we've ever heard before, because it has this transcendent moment against the most difficult, brutal, costly war in history. The Dutch did something that was filled with grace and gratitude and really set an example which stands by itself.
Right. Absolutely. And I think there is a lot of people who go to Arlington a day like today, or one of the 150 national cemeteries around the country. But you said that there's an effort with the Dutch to get in touch with American families. They have letters. They have things that could people that they have no idea existed. What are they doing to get in touch with these American families?
The Monuments Men and Women Foundation, which I created to honor the Monuments Men and Women and continue their effort to find missing works of art and return them to the rightful owners, and work with the United States Army in reestablishing a Monuments Officer Training Program, which we accomplished several years ago, has entered into a joint venture with the Dutch Foundation for Adopting Graves. So they have 10,000 adopters there who only have contact information for 20% of the Americans that are buried there, so 2,000. So they are 8,000 family members that there are Dutch adopters for that they don't know how to reach. So we've created a website called foreverpromise.org, and we have a list that's searchable of all 10,000 men and 4 women that are buried there. We're asking people to go there, find if there's someone from your family, someone you know of, and then write. There's a short questionnaire. Are you aware there's an adoption program? Would you like to be in contact with your adopter? Will you allow us to share your information with them? Some of these adopters have a photograph or an unfinished letter, because these boys, they were so caring. They allowed them to live in their homes, live in the barns. And then, of course, they didn't come back at the end of the war. So this is a chance to finish what the Dutch tried to do 80 years ago.
And what are people going to get when they pick up Remember Us?
I think they're going to have a lasting experience that is going to make them feel good about the decency of people and the incredible heroism of the paratroopers I write about, of the tankers, of the gravedigger experience and what that was like, of a chaplain that's included in my story. There are 12 different characters I've picked, and each one has some magnificent story. Their lives all come together in this cemetery. Some live, but not everybody does. But it's an amazingly moving story.
And it's so appropriate for Memorial Day, because that's what everyone wants to do. Remember, even people you haven't had a chance to meet, you could find out what they did. Robert, congratulations. Robert Edsel, founder of Monuments Men and Women Foundation, and his book now called Remember Us. Great job, Robert.
Thank you, Brian.
Meanwhile, next, I sit down with billionaire, possibly the nation's finest investor, certainly a macro investor, Ray Dalio, for insight on today's economy. And keep in mind, we have one thing in common, and it's not money. Don't move. More One Nation, just a moment.
American spirit.
If you know luxury.
So multi-billionaire Ray Dalio has a warning about our economy. He's the same Dalio who founded the world's biggest hedge fund from his apartment in New York City. So he knows a thing or two about managing money. In fact, in 2008, he sounded the alarm about a coming global financial crisis. He adjusted his finances, did quite well, and now he's warning about the deficit in his new book, How Countries Go Broke, and what we should look for to avoid a calamity. I had a chance to sit down with the Bridgewater Associates founder on why he thinks everyone should be worried and aware. Watch my interview with Ray Dalio in its entirety.
Well, there's a supply-demand, you know. A lot of people have a lot of bonds. One man's debts are another man's assets, and they have to get a good return. And when there's a lot of debt, it has to be sold, and there is not enough buyers for that debt. And when that happens, bad things happen, like interest rates go up and the economy goes down. So it's a... You got to get that down to about 3% of GDP,
and now
it's six and a half.
So right now we have about $36 trillion in debt,
yeah.
And that is your focus. Is that your biggest worry now?
Yes, that's supply demand. And when I line up the buyers and I look at the sellers, yeah, I worry about that. It's the same for people, you know. The only difference is the government has the Federal Reserve, so they can print money,
right?
And also then they have the ability to tax. So the program is now to stimulate the earnings and so on, but there's going to be a problem in supply-demand problem.
If you look at our greatest competitor economically and militarily, it's China.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at reports the last 24 hours that they're telling their government to tighten their belts, cigarettes, and going out to dinner is not going to happen. We hear about factories shutting down, people not getting paid, a younger generation not working at all. They seem to be a country in strife.
You know, there's a saying eat bitterness. Okay, when you have bad times, difficult times, the question is how can you endure it? Since I started to go to China, I started going in 1984.
And I would argue no one knows them financially or economically better than you.
What I would say is, since then, per capita incomes increased by 28 times. The leader, Xi Jinping, says there was a 100-year storm on the horizon. So, yes, batten down the hatches. I think a lot of us, whether it's our country or others, is can you take a difficult time? Can you have the strength to take that?
Do you agree they're going through a difficult time?
Yes. And as are we going through a difficult time, too, in terms of the total picture. Let's say their growth rate, they're changing and improving at a very fast rate, going through a difficult time. And their growth rate, if you adjust it for probably what it really is probably in the vicinity of 4%, something like that, 3 or 4%. And they're improving. But they have big gaps and problems, too. They have a debt problem. But on the other hand, they're also making technology and improving
right
at a fast rate. So you cannot take China and think that they are not going to be a force for the foreseeable future. They're not folding, okay? We both have our challenges, and there's going to be a big conflict. That's the nature of the beast.
No, I hear you. I just think that a lot of people think China's running the perfect game and America's struggling, and it just might not be the case because we know so little about what goes on.
What's so interesting is it's certainly a test of the systems. In other words, what we have here is capitalism.
Yes.
Okay? What they have there is communism in that. So the issue of how do you make a profit? It's difficult to make a profit in China. But on the other hand, then they have this top-down directed. So there's a conflict of the systems. But you have to recognize, right, we have to recognize, the most important thing is that we're strong.
Does the world need the U.S. and China to do a trade deal?
Some form of course, it needs
clarity. In the 90 days, needs clarity. You personally, you're buying gold, and you also you're not afraid of the cryptocurrency. You're also invested in there. Is that necessary? Would you recommend that for everybody?
I think as a storehold of wealth, what is money? Money has to be a medium of exchange and a storehold of wealth. And I think because we have a debt problem, and then you have to look at the alternative monies.
Right.
And now I can go on at length of why gold, why crypto, what it's going to mean. But yes, you have to look at the alternative storeholds of wealth.
And you say we have to win the AI race.
Oh, you have to. Well, yes, that's existential.
Quick thing about you personally. So you start off, you weren't a scholar in high school. We went to the same.
I hated high school.
We went to the same college, Long Island University.
Yes.
I'm thrilled to be able to say that. And you went there, and you said you found yourself there. Did they see the potential in you there, or did you begin to find how much you love business?
Well, I loved markets when I was 12. When I got to college and I could pick the courses I liked and I had the freedom and all of that, I loved college.
And do you remember the days clearly when it was you in a two-bedroom apartment in New York City?
Oh, yeah.
Where starting your company with just two employees?
Yeah, a guy.
Did you have this vision that Ray Dalio would be what Ray Dalio is?
No, of course not. And I played the game. I just liked the game. And it's still now. I just like the game. Bridgewater will be 50 years. 50 years this year. What a dream.
And now pick up his book to learn more and stay ahead of the curve and find out where this country's going, how countries go broke. Ray, thanks so much for everything. Great to see you.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. And I hope, hope this is the first of many interviews.
See you at LIU.
Absolutely.
Okay, at the reunion.
All right, don't forget, follow me on social media. You got Rumble, you got the Culper Club on Locals, and you have X, used to call it Twitter, as well as Facebook. I'm just about everywhere. I want you to follow me. We always post what we're doing, especially segment by segment with this show. Meanwhile, more on One Nation is next.
When your home gets bugged.
So glad you watched the whole show. Quick reminder, this Memorial Day, be sure to check out episodes of Field of Valor. You're going to love this series. I narrate it, but it's good anyway. It's only on Fox Nation. Another reason to get that streaming service. Here's a sneak peek. Watch.
Americans love the underdog. That is in our DNA. And here you have the underdog.
He was left for dead. Now all of a sudden he's fighting for the heavyweight championship in the world.
He's defined by his character.
Baseball was starting to get into the war effort. Mathewson wanted to go.
She wasn't just loyal to golf. She was loyal to her country.
Coming from his background to be an Olympian is super spectacular.
The things that Brad has accomplished is nothing short of amazing.
He was a man among men, a soldier among soldiers.
Once Pearl Harbor happens, the gloves are off, to use a boxing term.
He was compelled to go overseas.
Elgin Baylor stood up. While he was a medic, he found time to play basketball.
They won every single game that he played.
He wanted to be the one kicking down the door.
Yogi swings, it's going, it is gone.
He was very, very proud of his military service.
We need more of these men in this country.
How great is that? And a perfect mix, right? Professional athletes who also served. Those days there was a draft and others just signed up. Watch it. You will love the series. Perfect for Memorial Day. Meanwhile, quick reminder, 9 to noon every single day, check out my radio show, BrianKilmeadShow.com. You can also get the podcast if you want to watch in your own schedule. And be sure to tune into Fox and Friends every day, 6 to 9. Why wouldn't you? It's the best morning show around. And my last message is almost like my first message, to stay within yourself. And if you are dressed, you're going to need some rest, so gradually get undressed. See you next time on One Nation.
We were summer young and living for Friday. And freedom was a highway. Freedom was a highway.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.